This exploration of God's great gifts. We've been exploring all the gifts that come with faith. And it's just week four, and we've just been doing kind of one gift at a time. We talked about love and joy, and with joy kind of came peace. Last week we talked about hope. Today we conclude our series, not because there's just only one more thing to talk about, but because there is such an abundance. There are so many gifts we couldn't begin to list them. The gifts that are ours in Christ Jesus by faith alone are innumerable. There's lists within the scriptures that try to capture all of them, but they don't. They're true, but they don't capture all the gifts. Some list the gifts of the Spirit being what we've talked about, love and peace and grace and mercy. Some, as we'll see today, are the gifts that we are given to serve Jesus, to serve the church, to be the church. So today we're going to continue talking about the gifts that are yours, that are ours in faith. But today especially we're going to look at the ones that flow out of the greatest gift that Jesus gave us beyond salvation, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next week is Pentecost. And today, traditionally, is the day we celebrate the Ascension, the day which, after Jesus was risen from the dead, he hung out on earth with people, guiding them, loving them, eating with them, until the Ascension, in which he was raised to the throne, raised to God's right hand. But before he left also this promise, that he would give us the Spirit of Truth, another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And so today we look at the gifts that flow out of that Spirit, out of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start on verse 14, but we're going to explore. Or we'll start on verse 4, but we're going to explore well beyond 14 today. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as one body. Just as a body. Though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Amen. We've got a lot to talk about today. But I'm going to start with this question. Is Christ perfect? Is Christ perfect? It's probably not what the question you were expecting. If you're waiting for my answer, we'll get there. It's just something I want you to hold for a little while. Is Christ perfect? Maybe you're waiting for my answer so that you can decide if this is the right church for you or not. We've had a lot of that here. Throughout our history, really, as I look at the numbers, you've had a lot of that. But especially lately, a lot of people come and go. Some stay for a few weeks. Some stay for a couple months. For many, 1 week is all they need to know that this is not the church for them. For others, though, it's especially difficult. Perhaps they've called this their church for years. And they've recently decided, for one reason or another, that this church just isn't for them anymore. And it breaks my heart. And I know it breaks yours. When those that we call friends, that we've grown in fellowship and friendship together, we've grown in relationship with God together, and they've made that difficult decision to find another church. It is so hard. And I'm not searching for pity, because it's my calling and it is my job. And I do re-sign up for this job every morning. I make that decision to re-sign up. You know how fragile that decision is? In fact, it's the same word. Re-sign and resign. Every morning, I re-sign. It's so difficult to see and to feel people leaving the church, especially when I know that the primary reason that they are leaving is me. Either they don't like the way I think about a certain topic, or they don't like that I have led us into having discussions about certain topics. Or maybe I have too much health policy, COVID policy, too little COVID policy, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, it's usually me. And all those reasons aside, there is one I hear more than others, especially since coming here, that I don't preach God's truth, or that I don't take the Bible literally enough, or when they really just come out and say it, that I don't take seriously enough that every single word in the Bible is perfect truth. It's so hard when that is literally my job to convey God's truth to people through the scriptures. And I've been called to deliver that good old story in new ways, so that people might just experience God's love in new ways as well. And people leave. Will you put that picture back up? That picture wasn't supposed to be on our bulletin today. It was last week's message. It was just a hint of what we were talking about last week. We studied Romans, and in Romans they refer back to the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah talks about the root of Jesse, the root of Jesse springing forth out of death. But I'm so glad that picture is back up today, because that is my interpretation of the scriptures. That's my interpretation of Isaiah 11. Literally, that's my interpretation. That's my drawing. That's my signature right there. And as I read this scripture that I'm reading to you, that is what came to me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the branch of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner before the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from lower Egypt, from upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Fits pretty well, that image. The church, it grows up, we cut it down, there's nothing we can do about it. It springs back to life, right out of the same cords, the same root structure, the same biology, growing right up out of the same place it was cut down. What is it? Is it a root? Is it a tree? Come on, literalists. If we took these images that the prophets were given, it would just be a sprig growing out of a stump. And yet, holy interpretation has led the prophet to use this image as the banner of believers. That when we are cut down, Christ will grow forth. And those who really interpret the scriptures know that that little sprig, that root, that sapling that's growing up out of the death is Christ. It's literally Christ, delivered in a figurative way. And we, by faith, have been given the gift of interpretation. How dare you think that it's more than the black and white words of the scriptures? These words are holy. Holy. And I don't take them literally. Always. Sometimes they are for our imagination. Sometimes they are for us to wonder where the future is taking us. Sometimes they tell stories that have been passed down for thousands of years by word of mouth, and then finally someone wrote them down. And sometimes those stories weren't even meant to be written down. They were meant to be shared so that people can understand and claim their history. There's two creation stories in here. And there are literalists that say it's exactly as it took place. And they are a part of this holy body. And so am I. And so are you, of this holy body that in this book calls us one, and yet we who are one are drawing lines because some have different gifts than others, because some hear things in different ways than others, because we interpret things differently. I believe in the scriptures. I believe with my whole heart that Christ is the living Word of God. And while we call this the Word of God, that it is not the complete story. That Christ is the living Word of God. The living thing that can grow out of death. I think this is our primary source for everything that we need to know about salvation, to know about being in love with God, and to being a good neighbor and loving one another. I think it's all in here. And I think there are parts that need to be taken literally, and I think there's parts that are not, definitely not. I also think there's parts in here that are written by man. And those men might have been wholly inspired. They might have had blessed relationships with God. But I think that there's some interpretations that need updated that might make me not the preacher for you, that might make this not the church for you. But it's interpretations that have made us who we are as a church and as one body in Christ. Interpretations like, should a child be raped? That the person who raped her has to marry her. We've changed that through holy interpretation. We haven't changed the words. They still exist in the scriptures. But we can wholly understand that it doesn't fit the model we're trying to be of loving our neighbors and loving God. Those words exist in here. And I am not going to follow them. I think they literally happened. There's also imagery like this. And it's an image, it's a vision, and I take it literally. I take it literally that Christ will grow out of the demolished church and be the banner of all nations. And we will time and time again cut it down, and Christ will time and time again grow forth from that same root. If we want to take it literally, there is plenty of opportunity to do so. Let's do it now. Because that scripture, that same chapter, goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to say this, where we left off at 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body form one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. Literally. Is Christ perfect? For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And it goes on from there. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire greater gifts. That's how he concludes it. Now, eagerly desire greater gifts. What are greater gifts than those? He literally just told us. He literally told us. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we ought to treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our special parts need no special treatment. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, literally. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it, literally. Now, you are the body of Christ. Is Christ perfect? Maybe I'm not the perfect pastor for you. No, I'm not. Maybe this isn't the perfect church for you. But I'm going to tell you the literal truth. We were together as one well before I arrived in Edwardsburg. And if you leave and go to the church across the street or downtown or to the next town over, we are part of that same body and have been since the Word came to be, since the living Word of Christ spoke it into existence, long before Paul heard it and wrote it to the Corinthians. It was the truth that we are one beyond what man-made lines we draw to separate ourselves, what injury we do to the body. We were one before I got here. We were one before after I'll leave. We are one with the church across the street. We are one with the church downtown. We are one with the church in the next town over. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And every person, simply by faith, is a part of that same body. And simply by faith, faith in the work that God has done in Christ Jesus, every single person that believes is not only a part of that body, but has been given gifts crucial to the vitality of that body. We are one in Christ before, after, now, and forever. And there is value in every single part of that body, even the ones that we see as dishonorable. If we were to turn and give them honor, there would be reason for celebration. We are all forever connected in this perfect body of Christ. Different, definitely. Different understandings, absolutely. Different ways to articulate the exact same faith all day, every day. But every part is necessary to the whole. Literally, we are one. Amen.